I am excited about this new year, regardless of what media says and how many strands they think are showing up. Come on. We're going to build our lives. Jesus said, if you listen to my word and do it, you're building your life on the rock. And regardless of the storms that hit your life, you will stand while others will crumble. You will stand. Say, I'm standing. In fact, the Bible tells us how to stand. It says, having done all, stand. Ephesians tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're to stand with strength. Why? Because the enemy's tactic is to get you to become intimidated. And when you're intimidated, you refuse to move in an advancement mentality. You begin to move with a survival mentality. When you're nervous, when you're intimidated, when you get in fear, we tend to look for the escape hatch and how can we survive or at least get through this. But God didn't call you to get through this. Let me say that again. Jesus never intended you just to get through the storms of life. Jesus did not intend for you to reroute his destiny for you because of the circumstances. You don't want to get to heaven and the Lord said, I asked you to do 1, 2, and 3. And you're like, well, Lord, you don't understand. We got in the boat like you asked us to. And on the way, we were doing what you told us to. But did you know there is an unexpected storm? The question wasn't, we're going to the other side if everything goes our way. Jesus didn't say, get in the boat and we'll go to the other side if everybody likes us. Jesus never said, we're going to go to the other side as long as it is smooth sailing. Jesus said, get in the boat, we are going to the other side. Many times in our Christian walk, and if this is not you, just be praying for the rest of us. Many times if we're not careful in the Christian walk, we think being led by the Spirit means going to the easiest option. What is the smoothest, easiest, least resistance? But I can't find that in the Bible. New Testament or Old Testament. God will send them to an assignment and there will always be opposition. If you're looking to do great things for God, and in general, great things anywhere in life, without opposition, you'll never do anything except in your own imagination. Can I get an amen? Amen. Opposition comes with the territory. Most people want everybody to clap, like them, applaud them, friend them, share them, tweet about them, and all these good things, but they don't understand that there's a balancing act, that if you're going to do anything of value, if you're doing anything that will be of greatness, you will have opposition. Opposition is not something that we are praying for, but the reality is if you're going to be a champion, you'll have to fight a fight. Do you think the devil's going to sit there who Jesus said roams around as a roaring lion? John 10:10, he's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And do you honestly think that Jesus is going to, when he says that, that he meant that you're going to go through life and do great things and the devil's just going to sit back and say, we're going to let this one just go. We're just going to, you know what I mean? Nope. No, the devil's going to try to stop you. Right. Now, that doesn't mean that life is a continuous battle. It's normal to have battles in life. It's not normal to live defeated in life. You are called to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You are called to be the head and not the tail. You are called to be a giant killer. Are you with me? And so what I want to draw our attention to is that battles happen. But God wants us to win. In fact, Peter just said, we looked last week and started this series. He said, why are you, basically Greg Bruce translation, and challenge everything I say with the word of God. And he basically saying, why are you freaking out? Why are you caught off guard that there's something trying to attack you or test you? I mean, Matthew 13 even tells us when you get revelation from the word of God, there's going to be opposition against the word that's on the inside of you. Because at the end of the day, listen to me, child of God, the devil's not afraid of you. He's afraid of the God in you. He's afraid of the word of God in you. He's afraid of what you can, when you begin to yield to God and let him do his work in you and through you, the lives that can be changed, the things that you can do, the people that you can help. Do you realize that? And so the devil's not, he's not angry at you. He's trying to get what's on the inside of you. What's on the inside of you? The Bible says this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God, not of men. The devil will do things to distract you. He will do things to hinder you. He will do things to derail you. He will do things to get your attention on everything but the priority. And when your focus is on other stuff than the priority, you can walk away even from a service and saying, I don't even know what they were talking about. And the word of God can be unfolded with truth and revelation, and you miss it. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees were standing right in front of Jesus, who spoke the word of God, who is the word of God. John 1:1 and John 1:14. 17, who begin to unleash the truth, for he said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. And they didn't understand it. They looked at him and they were the religious. Don't rely on the religious. Look to Jesus. What we have to do is quit trying to be Christians that we've been taught as a formula and a format and a stereotype of generations gone by. God didn't call you to be a sissy. God didn't call you to be passive. You have to shake yourself. You have to get a hold of the thing of things of God. You have to go after it. People want everything that God offers by benefit, and that yet many times don't want to touch the condition. Anoint me, Jesus, but I don't want to pray. Bless me, God, but I don't want to give a dime. Cause people to like me, but I don't want to be friendly to no one. You can't play this as a game. You can't passively go after the destiny of God. You can't simplistically say, well, if it's God's will, it will happen. Let me tell you, that's not in the Bible. I'll prove it to you with the Bible. The Bible tells us that it's the will of God that none should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the will of your Father that everyone gets saved. But will everyone get saved? No, they have a choice. If everything that happened, well, if it happens, it must have been God's will. I would just want to smack somebody and then repent later. Because if... Sometimes in Christendom, we can think stuff that is like, where is that in the Bible? It doesn't even make sense. Listen, my friend, if everything that happens is the will of God, then why do we have prisons? If everything that happens is the will of God, why do we grade our kids and test? Couldn't they go up and say, well, teacher, that was the will of God for me because that's what I put down. It must be God's will, so I should get an A. Right. We know better. And the reason it's been sold in the church world and the religious world is the enemy's attempt and tactic to isolate you and set you aside where you begin to believe, I can't do anything about it. If it's God's will, it'll happen. If it's not God's will, it won't happen. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffereth violent, and the violent taketh by force. What was he saying? James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What am I telling you? God sits on the throne in power in heaven, but you have to bring heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Jesus told them to pray, on earth as it is in heaven. Quit being a pansy about life. Get in the game. Get in the game. You got great things to do. God has great things for you to do. We want the easiest route. It don't come the easiest route. It's those who hunger and thirst after righteousness that shall be filled, not those who it's available to. We have to do something. We have to do something. We have to do something. Oh, I'm just struggling with my faith. Then pay the price. Romans 10:17, faith comes not from prayer. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Next time someone says, I need you to pray for me, my faith is getting weak, say, are you in the word? Oh, yes, I'm in the word. What are you believing for? Oh, I believe God's going to do this. What's your verse? Because the human brain works. If you see it enough, you'll remember it. If you hear it enough, you'll remember it. If you read it enough, you'll remember it. If you don't, you'll forget it. Maybe remember it. Get part of it. Sounds like some of it's right. And partial truth does not produce anything. A partial fragmented seed never produces a tree or a plant. You have to have the seed of the word. You have to have the seed, Matthew 13. You have to have the seed that bring and get understanding on that seed for it to produce fruit. See, the devil's got so many people in the church world, none of you here, amen. He's got so many people in the church world that they are literally on autopilot in their Christian life. They are sleeping at the wheel. They are just, if it happens, it happens, and they don't give any effort to it, and then they blame God when things don't go their way. They blame God when the enemy walks in. Because the enemy, listen, he brings strife and confusion and attacks to everybody. But as a child of God, you have a right to stand up and say, not me. As a right, you have a right to say, that's not in my covenant. You have a right to say, not here. Not in this house, you're not. Just like if your kids brought over somebody, one of their friends, and they begin to talk a certain way, and you're like, wait a minute, we don't talk like that here. I do at my house. You're not at your house. You're in my house. And if you want to stay in my house, you're going to shut your mouth. And if you don't like it, you can get stepping. We have been passive with the devil, passive with God, and wonder why we get our teeth kicked in Monday through Saturday. This is not a game. You don't wait till you get to the deathbed and 5 minutes to live and learn to pray. What was that scripture on healing? People are looking for mercy instead of operating by the kingdom. When you seek first how God works, how the kingdom works, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And in the kingdom, he operates for you to receive all that's been purchased on Calvary, but you do it by faith and patience. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 6. It sounds nicer to say, it's okay, I understand, and give you little comfort, but I'm not here to comfort you today. I'm here to instir a riot within you that says, wait a minute. And you become like the prodigal, says, wait a minute. Why am I tolerating the place that I live? I want some of you to walk out of here today and say, why am I allowing the devil to torment my mind one more day? I want you to walk out of here and say, why am I allowing the enemy to bring that fear into my life? He can't do it. He has no right. We've all had situations, maybe you've had your identity stolen. Maybe. On my phone, somehow my phone number has gotten sold to somebody. I don't know who, but they keep sending me texts. And they keep everything. I mean, these people spend a lot of time to think of ways to get you to hit that link. And side note, if someone ever sends you an email or a text and has something really nice to offer you, and all you have to do is respond by hitting the text, delete it. That's right. The IRS is not contact you by text. There's no extra payoff coming if you hit this link. Everything from, oh, there's a concern about the IRS. Oh, there's a concern about your retirement. Oh, there's free Netflix for a year. I mean, all kinds of crazy things. I know enough about computers that I know it's a scam, but you know what is the tipping point for me? The tipping point is they put the word Haley in it. They got the wrong person. Haley, we have a special offer for you. I'm not Haley. Stay with me. Say, I'm not Haley. So if you got a message that Haley, we got something for you. Click here. You know not to click there because you're not Haley. In quick review, last week we talked about one of the three keys. Last week was the first key to winning a fight, and that's learning who your identity is. Some of us are clicking on everything the devil sends to us because we have no idea who we are in Christ. Right. He baits it a little bit, puts a little sugar coat on it, makes a promise that he's lying about, and we hit the button, we hit the button, we hit the button, and we open ourselves up, we open ourselves up, and we open ourselves up to a bunch of garbage we never wanted. Right. Come on. But when you know who you are in Christ, right, you can say, not here, devil. At first, it was annoying to me. And then, because what do? You hit stop. I tried hitting stop. You know, you send back stop. And then they used a different number. It just multiplied, right? Like, wait a minute. So then I started laughing at it. And every time I would see a text message to Haley, I would be like, someone's thinking about me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I made it a positive thing. I began to laugh at the attack of the enemy. When you get a hold of what I'm talking about, when the enemy tries to stir you, because most things, 99% of the stuff you worry about and stress out about never even happen. And instead of stressing and worrying, you're going to stay in peace in the name of Jesus. Instead of freaking out, you're going to start laughing and smiling and say, good try, devil. At least the devil's thinking about me today. Ha, ha, ha. Say, my identity. Second thing that we want to get into today. Comes out of this perspective of not only knowing who we are in Christ, the right perspective, but the right power. The right power. The right power. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to notice a couple things. Number one, it said, say thankful. But thanks be to God, which gives, okay, future tense, thankful present tense. We want victory in this process. We have to understand the power. We learn to begin to give God thanks. You know, if you don't feel God, let's take a few minutes and just begin to give him thanks. That's a side note. That's extra. That's a benefit. Don't you like the bonus without even costing anything? Hallelujah. Thanks be to God, which what? Gives us the victory. He gives me the victory. He gives me the victory. That almost sounds passive. But it's not, because as you understand the entirety of the scripture, and we're going to get more into this next week, as you understand the entirety of scripture, James says, faith without works is dead. Boy, you all are just amazing. Say that with me. He said, faith without works. Let's try this again. Faith without works is, now dead means does not produce any change. Prayers that are prayed but produce no change. I'm not talking about you overriding someone else's will. Right. See, that's where we got to get into the understanding, and we'll talk later about it, but your authority, what God's given you authority. God didn't call you to override someone's will. Right. Because if he did, then you can pray and make everyone get saved. But if Jesus won't make everybody get saved, why do you think you can make everybody get saved? Oh, okay. And if Jesus won't make everybody get saved, then you can't make everybody get saved. Why don't you understand the power of God's will that he's given every person is a deciding factor. Amen. On what they receive. Oh, the devil's stopping me. The devil can't stop you if you understand who you are in Christ.
That's right.
I wish God would help me. He's done. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
We have to take this thing serious and choose by choice whose side we're going to be on.
Right.
If you approach, let me say this again, if you approach the things of God casually, you will not come out with much.
That's right.
You have to be hungry. Those who hunger and thirst, you have to be zealous. You have to, the zeal of thy house has consumed me.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't casual and passive about his destiny.
Right.
But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. Where's victory come from? It comes from heaven. How does victory come? Through Jesus.
Amen.
Where does victory come from? From heaven.
Right.
How does victory come? Through Jesus. Where does victory come?
From heaven.
No, I'll say it this way. The best victory comes from heaven. Because
yeah.
Some people look like they have victory in areas of their life, and God wasn't involved in any way, shape, or form. In fact, you have to look at it from top down and not bottom top. Because if you look at it from the bottom effect and measure it up, you will be confused sometimes.
Yeah.
Because there's people in the world that don't love God, hate God, and they have money. Or what appears to be success on the outside. But the Bible says, you gotta love the Bible, that he'll bless you and add no sorrow to it.
Amen.
So when God blesses you, see, we believe in the blessing of heaven. You can't tell me that God doesn't bless people. Oh, God just wants us to make enough. You need to travel. You need to get outside your neighborhood.
Right.
You need to travel, go to the mission field a little bit. Do you realize that if you slept on a pillow last night and you have more than one pair of shoes, you are right now, as you are, in the top 8% income bracket of the world? And you were all upset because you couldn't afford the new iPhone 12 Max Pro yet. You've been crying the blues. God, why aren't you blessing me? I've had this phone for almost 7 months. But thanks be to God, let's get back to this, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest victory comes through Jesus. The greatest victory comes through Jesus. The greatest victory comes through Jesus. You are born of God. and have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith, 1 John 5:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, 1 John 4:4. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, Zechariah 4, verse 6. Without me, you can do nothing. Gospel of John, chapter 15. What am I saying? The greatest victory comes from heaven.
Amen.
The greatest victory comes through Jesus.
Yes.
The greatest victory comes through Jesus.
Yes.
Through his power.
Yes.
When you do it on your power, it doesn't mean you can't get stuff done, but two things will happen. One, you're going to be exhausted and overwhelmed. And two, you'll never hit the mark that God's called you to hit. I believe God wants you to live at a level that is beyond your best without exhausting you. Some of you, if you have a business, you're like, man, I'm stressing out, struggling. You only have 3 employees. What would you do if God blessed your business and now you have 300 employees? If you don't learn how to do it God's way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's a rest to the people of God, Hebrews tells us. When we're walking by faith, there is a rest of peace. It doesn't mean that you don't recognize the storms. You might not, I'm not saying you won't emotionally feel it, but on the inside, you have the peace of God, which exceeds your understanding. That's why the Bible says, never be stressed out. Don't be panicked. Don't allow that. But in all things, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which exceeds your understanding, will keep your heart, soul, and mind. I'm telling you, God wants you to win in the battles of life. Why does God want me to win? If the greatest victories come through Jesus, I've always been taught that God will just, you know what I mean? He'll never put more on me than I can bear. You know what that really is saying? I'll give you an example besides the description. And I know this from my own experience. And again, this stuff doesn't happen every day. So I don't want you to misunderstand. Because we don't look for voices, we look for understanding from the Word of God.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit can still speak to your spirit as if someone's just said it to you.
Yeah.
Many years ago, probably about 17 years ago, the church was going through an ebb and flow. And we're all learning. Say, I'm learning. If you haven't learned anything, you know, they say knowledge increases every 7 years. So if you haven't learned anything in the last 7 years, you're twice as dumb as you were before. So I'm just telling you. Oh, lighten up. Lighten up. So there was some opposition pressure on the ministry. And regardless of if you're part of the leadership responsibility, there's a sense of ownership. So you always typically take it as almost yours. To human nature to break that. You need something help from heaven to help you realize that there's stuff that you can do and there's stuff that God can do. And learning not to mix those two things up. Because some of us stress ourselves out. Are you listening to me? Some of us stress ourselves out because we're trying to be Jesus in our situation. And because we don't know what to do, we're trying everything like we're throwing darts, hoping something hits. And we're overwhelming ourselves instead of resting in the things of God and saying, Lord, you show me what to do and I'll obey. And so I was in that situation. There was some pressure. Actually, it was the financial side of it creating pressure. And financial stress is a very unique stress. And I found myself becoming a little, not bad, but a little bit jaded, and it wasn't like I wasn't praying or wasn't preaching or wasn't preparing or wasn't worshiping God or walking with God. Or it wasn't like I was in sin, but it was like my expectation was beginning to change a little bit because of the pressure and the opposition. And I noticed this not only internally how I felt about things, but the words that would come out of my mouth in casual conversation. You got to keep in mind, and I believe in the power of the spoken word. I believe in faith confession and speaking the word of God. But some of us focus on that in practice, but when we get into the routine of life, we say differently. And that's where you got to find out where stuff comes out of. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks.
Right.
It's those casual, I didn't think much about it, it just came out thing. It's an indicator of where you're at. And I found myself, making little jaded comments. And one day I was running errands, it was my day off. And I was coming home, and I ran through a drive-thru to get some food. This is not spiritual by any means, but the story. And I got my food, and the whole plan for that day was I was going to eat lunch, chill out for a little bit, start studying and prepping for Sunday. And so I set my food down, turned the TV on, went into the kitchen to get ketchup. All I wanted was ketchup, and I've told this story before. And all I wanted was ketchup. I'm thinking ketchup. I had French fries. I wanted ketchup. I wanted French fries. I wanted to eat, watch the TV, chill out. But as I'm walking through, all of a sudden, the presence of God captivated my attention. Didn't plan it, didn't expect it, didn't look for it, wasn't trying to do anything. I just wanted ketchup. But the Lord captivated my attention. I found myself literally stopped, hands raised, tears coming down, and praying in the Spirit deeply. And the Lord spoke out in my spirit. He spoke real clearly, and he said, if this is as far as you can, if this is all you can handle, this is as far as I can take you. Because the handling wasn't that Jesus is trying to put evil on someone. That's where people get messed up. They think of what he's talking about is evil or tempting with evil. But James is very specific and clear that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. So it's not the scripture about the Lord will never put more on you than you can handle. It's not about the enemy's tactics against you. As far as God is putting, it's a matter of God saying, I'm going to bring you to a place, and there's going to be opposition, but if you can't handle it, I'll wait for you.
Right.
Let me give you another scripture to verify it. Jesus told the disciples, there is many things. Challenge everything I say. Please, I want you to grow. He said, there's many things that I have to tell you, but you're not ready.
Yeah.
So their position and their preparation eliminated them from the moment of opportunity to hear what he had already to say to them. And out of that moment, the answer and the solution came at the same time. And the Lord revealed in my heart to learn to say, no big deal. So when pressure would come, I would say, no big deal.
Yeah.
Because the last thing I wanted to do was stop my destiny in that journey. I didn't want to just stay there. I was thankful where I was at. I appreciated what God had done already, but I knew that wasn't the end. Say, that's not the end. Look to your neighbor and say, that's not the end. Opposition is going to come, my friend. Opposition is going to come. But when you learn to say, no big deal, well, how can you say no big deal, Pastor? Because I begin to get a revelation of who God is and who I am in the situation. I begin to start understanding when it's all how you compare things. Let me give you another example. Some of us, have you ever gone shopping for a TV? Come on. Most of you, if you haven't, I'm praying for you. And you go and they got all these TVs, right? And you start comparing them, the color, the depth. You know, I've always been techie. I've loved technology. I remember when HD came out, we were early adopters on that. 4K, 8K is coming out. There's all kinds of stuff coming out. And when you stand there and look at them, you're like, man, this one looks better. That looks brighter. This one's larger. And you start comparing the sizes. And there's a human tendency. If you've ever bought a TV, you'll understand this. There's a human tendency to think, which one do I want? And you know, and based on who you have with you, I'm just saying. Some of us, we look at how big the TV is, how many features it has, how bright it is, all the cool stuff, right? And we're like, okay, maybe on a better for a budget, I should not go with this one. I'll go for this one. It's not that big, as big as the major one. This should be acceptable. And we buy it, we get it the box home, and we roll it in the house, and we set it up. And when you set it up and look at it, you have the moment of, OMG, this thing is huge. The TV didn't change. Your perspective of the TV changed based on what you compare. Mm. God wants you to win. Say, God wants me to win. Last verse in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. Now. Not later, now, thanks be unto God. Before you go in battle, now, thanks be unto God. Notice this, which always causes us. Notice this, which how often? Oh, if my prayers get answered 50-50, I'm good. If I win 3 out of 10 battles, that's not a bad month. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. The greatest victory comes from heaven through Christ, which means not only Jesus, but the anointed word of God. Amen. For Christ means the anointed one in his anointing. And John 1:1 and verse 14 says that Jesus is the word. That's why the Bible tells us, let the word of Christ, the anointed word, dwell in you richly. But let's move on. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Say, in Christ. And make manifest. That means to make aware, to have the aroma. It's like you would better say that, the cologne. Yeah. Right now you might be sitting there and thinking, the person behind me, cologne, not that good. Or you might be sitting next to somebody and say, wow, their perfume or their cologne really smells nice. Yeah. If someone has nice perfume or cologne on, it's a positive experience, is it not? It's a pleasant experience. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes a triumph and make manifest to reveal the Savior. That's the cologne. That's the perfume. That's the aroma of him, his knowledge, by us in every place. Amen. See, God wants me to win in the battles of life so I can be an aroma, a cologne of his goodness. Notice where? In church. Is that what it said? In my Bible study. Everywhere you go. That doesn't mean you have to go into a room and say, wait, everybody, I want to know who's saved and who's not. I just want to know who to zero in on. No, don't you be weird. If you are weird, then if someone asks you what church you go to, tell them another church. Don't you tell them Hope Church. Don't you mess up my reputation with your foolishness. Now the organ shows up on that one. So I'm going to mess with you too. I am tired of this. No, what brings the knowledge? What brings the aroma, the manifestation of his goodness? The victories. It's all about victory. Yeah. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. And brings out and makes manifest, reveals to the three-dimensional world the aroma of him wherever we go. What does it say to an atheist who saw someone who's blind and now they see? What does it say to an agnostic when someone who was crippled is now walking? What does it say to somebody who knew what you were going through but now sees you have victory in it? It's going to get their attention. Somehow in the church world, we've lost that identity. I believe in the last days, God is bringing that back alive in the body of Christ. Amen. You're not called to be a doormat. You're not called to disappear. Jesus didn't say, follow me and disappear in a hole. He said, follow me and be a light. He said, be a city on a hill that cannot be denied. God wants you not to be weird. If you have to fake it and talk it, then you are not the real deal. But when you are the real deal, when you walk into the room, you know you are not walking alone because he goes before you and he's behind you, Psalm says, and his hand of blessings on you. And you walk in looking for the opportunity. God, is there something you want me to do in this room? I'm going to change the atmosphere. I'm going to speak kindness to somebody. I'm going to pray for somebody. I'm going to invite somebody. I'm going to encourage somebody. You don't walk in and say, who can help me? You walk in and say, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in me. I don't care if I walk into a covert of witches. The moment I walk in, light, John 1, darkness cannot keep it out, cannot comprehend it. You are the light of God. You are the light. You are born of God. That's the qualifier. You are born again. You are born of God. And we have let people talk us out of it. And I'm here to talk you back into it with the word of God. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he that is in you than the testimonies against you, than the accusations against you, than the labels that have been put on you. Rise up, child of God. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for his light has come. Rise up, child of God. Begin to make your way to the plan of your Father and begin to dream big dreams again. Begin to take steps. You will never get to destiny until you take a step toward destiny. Amen. Don't put your hands out and say, back it up, Jesus. Beep, beep, beep. What are you doing? I'm just waiting for Jesus to do it. No, he's already done it. Now he says, I want you to take a step. What step? We'll talk about that next week. Because there's something for you to do. We'll talk more about that next week. It's important. But I'm here to tell you, you're not a doormat. You're not second class. I don't care where your past was. When you are saved, you're born again, the past is forgotten behind you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a world shaker. Did you hear me? You are more than a conqueror. One of my faith confessions for not only me and my family, but for you, is that you are, according to John 15, verse 7, 8, and 16, is that you are a big-time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God.
Amen.
I'm serious about this. You say, I am a big-time producer. Come on, say it like you mean it. I am a big-time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Say that again. Say, I am a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. If you believe that, next 30 seconds, give the loudest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Amen. Would you be so gracious and bow your head and close your eyes with no one looking around. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ, in the way you process and the way you experience, is Jesus Christ real to you? In a way that you know for sure that he's real and he's your Lord and Savior. If not, you can. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Give me an opportunity. Romans 10, those who call upon the Lord shall be saved. The name of the Lord. And so I want to just take a moment and just join with you today. For those of you who do not know him in a real and personal way, this is your opportunity. The benefits all come from the relationship. You don't want anything from heaven without Jesus. We don't go around Jesus. It's all because of Jesus, all in Jesus. It's a relationship. So let's pray this prayer together. Let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Listen, I love you. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. Before we close out, let me close with a blessing that comes out of Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.